Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Filthy Fiancé by Kat Carmine. Narrated by Kendall Taylor and Rock Engel. 1. Celia. Thwack! The blueberry crumble muffin hits the wall of the break room, just behind Martin's head. You lying! My words come out breathless as I fling a second muffin at him. Duck! This one hits him on the shoulder, leaving a smear of sticky fruit and crumbs on his $4,000 pinstriped suit jacket. Cheating! He beats away the third muffin, flailing his arms like a little girl. Son of a bitch! I finish with a hiss. The last muffin hits him right in the throat, and he yells in surprise. Celia, he barks, this is very unbecoming. Unbecoming? I yell. Unbecoming was when you got caught with your pants down in the copy room. Oh, wait, no, that was just coming, right? My mistake. People have gathered around outside the break room now, and I can feel their eyes boring into my back. But all I can do is glare at the man who broke my heart. Martin and I split up 2 weeks ago, but this is my first time seeing him since then. I thought I'd be able to handle it, and I was determined to be mature, to take the high road even after he'd humiliated me. So much for that plan. Of course, all of that was before I found out the associate lawyer he'd been fucking behind my back is being promoted to partner. A promotion I've been in the running for, one I'd been told I was a shoo-in for. Apparently, now that Martin and I are no longer engaged, I'm no longer partner material. To be honest, I'm not even sure I want to be a partner at Turner & Crosby. Being a lawyer isn't exactly all I had dreamed it would be, or all my parents had dreamed for me, I suppose. But I want it to be my choice. I want to succeed or fail on my own terms, not because my ex has tapped his new fuck buddy for the job that was supposed to be mine. I search helplessly around for something else to throw at Martin, but we're all out of muffins. I pick up the empty pastry box and heave that at him, too. But it just sails to the floor pathetically between us.
Ms. Jeffries,
the booming voice comes from behind us and I instantly flinch. I turn around to see Frank Turner, one of the firm's founding partners. He looks none too pleased. His silver eyebrows are furrowed and his mouth is thin.
Miss Jeffries, please come with me.
He turns on his heel, and I have no choice but to follow along behind him like a puppy. Not before I shoot Martin one last withering glare, though. He has the nerve to shake his head sadly at me, as if I'm the pathetic one, as if he's not the lying, cheating scumbag in this scenario. I scamper down the hallway behind Mr. Turner, still cursing out Martin under my breath. When Frank gets to his office, he holds the door open for me.
After you, Ms. Jeffries.
I step cautiously into his office. Well, I tell myself, if nothing else, at least there's no way Frank Turner is ever going to forget my name now. Fuck! 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 I ride the elevator down to the ground floor of our luxurious office tower, cursing as it dings past every floor. My hands are still shaking, and my heart is racing, replaying the conversation I just had with Frank. Unacceptable workplace behavior, he'd said. Appearance of mental instability. Apparently, break room meltdowns and muffin throwing are unacceptable workplace behavior now. Who knew? Frank had suggested I take 2 weeks off to deal with my personal matters, aka get my shit together. Only it was clear from his tone that it wasn't really a suggestion at all. They were putting me on leave, even if he didn't have the balls to come right out and say it. Fuck, fuck, fuck! The elevator doors open with one final ping, and I step into the soaring glass lobby, the one that normally gives me such a giddy thrill. Now it's dark and humid. Rain is pouring down outside, and the space feels damp and dreary. I stand there in the lobby, clutching my purse and staring at the rain pelting down on the sidewalk outside. Because, of course, it would have to be pouring rain right now. Why wouldn't it be, really? It's the perfect end to the perfect day. Yet even with the rain and the muffins and the leave of absence, this still only ranks as the second worst day I've had this month. Top billing goes to the day Martin and I broke up. The day I walked in on him in the copy room. Bare ass, thrusting against... God, I can't even think about it right now. Of course, after it had happened, no one at the firm had told Martin his behavior was unacceptable. No one had told him he needed to take a couple of weeks to get his shit together. You can get your rocks off in the office, apparently, but you can't throw an innocent baked good. Or two. Then again, Martin was the one with the corner office, the big clients, the kind who flew in on private jets just for an hour-long meeting, which he always billed them through the nose for. Apparently that bought you a lot of privilege at the office. But I know how to play the game. Appearance is everything at Turner & Crosby. That's why, for the last 2 weeks, ever since it had happened, I'd been forcing myself to keep it together. Pretend none of this is a big deal, that I'm just fine. I stare out at the rain, painting the sidewalks in dark gray, wondering why I picked today of all days to lose it. Not the day I caught Martin cheating, not the day I took off my engagement ring, not the day I had to call the wedding planner and tell her the wedding wasn't happening anymore. No, I lost my shit over a partner job I don't even know if I want. And look where my little outburst got me. I'll never get the job now. I'll be lucky if I get to keep the job I currently have. Worst of all, throwing those muffins hadn't even made me feel any better. Well, okay, maybe it made me feel a little bit better. But it didn't make up for the trouble it had got me in. I huff out another sigh, still staring at the rain. The only things that could possibly help salvage this disaster of a day are a drink, a fuck, and a really gooey grilled cheese sandwich. Considering my current relationship status, non-existent, I doubt I'm going to get that middle option, but luckily I know exactly where I can satisfy my other two cravings. I push open the lobby door and step out into the downpour. The sidewalks are surprisingly empty for 4 o'clock in Manhattan, probably because everyone else is smart enough to stay indoors in this near typhoon. I hurry through the rain as fast as I can in my heels, which unfortunately isn't very fast. Fortunately, I'm not going far. Veneer is just 3 blocks from my office, but no one I work with would ever set foot in a dive bar like that, which is exactly why I like it. That and the tasty piece of man meat that works behind the bar most evenings. I've been coming here at least once a month since I started working at Turner & Crosby, and it's the perfect place to drown my sorrows tonight, especially if Jace is working. I push open the door and burst into the bar like a thundercloud, trailing puddles and gloom in my wake. It's actually packed inside, probably people hiding out from the storm. So I drop my soaking wet ass on a bar stool and try to wring out my black hair. There's no bartender back there at the moment, so I grab a handful of napkins and start trying to wipe up the worst of the water while I wait. I must look like a drowned rat. Another win for today. I look around the bar, checking out the diverse clientele. The bar isn't big, but it isn't a hole in the wall either. And the battered old tables are filled with a wide mix of people. Bankers, college kids, hipsters, and more than a few single women, probably hoping for exactly the same thing as I am. A view of the sexiest bartender in Manhattan. Finally, the door from the kitchen swings open. A collective sigh rises from the lips of every woman in the room. Jace. And just like that, my day gets immeasurably better. 2. Celia. Jace the bartender sidles up behind the bar and smiles at me in greeting.
Hey, Celia.
I struggle for an appropriate response, somehow managing to forget all about the word hello, but Jace is already raising his eyebrows.
You're wet.
His voice is like liquid honey, and it seeps through my veins like a drug. All I can do is nod. Despite the cold rain still soaking me, a rush of warmth flows through me, coming to a sharp point between my legs and making me clench my pussy. It's as if his words aren't an observation so much as a command. And suddenly, I find I'm wet in more ways than one. It's raining, I say dumbly, squirming in my seat. Wow, what scintillating conversation. Why is it that I seem to turn into a complete moron when I'm around this man? I mean, sure, he has the body of a Greek god, with pecs that practically bust out of his t-shirts and tattooed biceps that could just scoop you up and throw you down on the bar in front of everyone, and just... I shake my head lightly. Get it together, Celia. You don't need any more embarrassments today.
Let me get you a towel.
He turns before I can protest, disappearing back into the kitchen he'd just come out of. I look down at the pile of soggy napkins and try to ball them up as best as I can. Despite the fact that I've been here on dozens of occasions, I seem to manage to make an ass of myself in front of Jace every time, turning from educated corporate lawyer to blushing schoolgirl. It's ridiculous, really. Jace comes back and hands me a clean kitchen towel, which I take gratefully. I scrub my face and neck, and then dab at my cleavage. I glance up and see Jace watching as I lightly pull open the neck of the white-collared shirt I'm wearing. I realize that it's probably almost entirely see-through at this point, and I thank God for the boring charcoal blazer I'm wearing over top of it. I dab at my skin one more time, and then try to pull the jacket closed as much as I can, feeling my nipples pebbling under the damp fabric, and glad he can't see the very obvious effect he has on me. Jace is still watching me as I hand the towel back across to him. His blue eyes are bright, his lids heavy, and I realize he looks intrigued. My cheeks flame in embarrassment. I hadn't meant to put on quite such a show. Jace takes the towel from me and drops it in a bin behind the bar.
Your usual?
Yes, please. And a grilled cheese. He raises an eyebrow.
Bad day?
I nod and actually find myself smiling. Am I that obvious? He grins.
Well, you kind of have a tell.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Carbs and cheese.
I laugh at that. A full, loud, barking laugh, way louder than I mean to. So what you're saying is I am that obvious.
Well, let's just say last time you were having a bad day, we ran out of macaroni and cheese.
Guilty. I can't help but laugh, even though the memory is still raw. Catching Martin like that, ending our engagement, throwing him out of the apartment. I'd come here the next day after work and drowned my sorrows in mac and cheese and cab franc, dinner of champions, and cheated on girlfriends everywhere. Jace grabs a bottle and starts pouring me a glass of red. My mouth is practically salivating already, although I'm not sure if it's at the sight of the wine, or the couple inches of muscled back I glimpsed as his t-shirt rode up when he reached to grab the bottle off the high shelf behind him. There's a flush crawling across my skin, and I have to resist the urge to fan myself. When he's filled my glass with way more than the usual 6 ounces, he slides it across the bar toward me. Cheers. I pick it up and down half of it in one gulp. Who cares that it costs $25 a glass? Jace watches me with raised eyebrows, and when I set the glass back down on the bar, he wordlessly fills it back up.
Want to talk about it? He asks. I am a bartender, you know, better than a shrink.
Ha, no, that's okay. No way am I letting the sexiest man in Manhattan know what a mess my life is. He probably already thinks I'm a flake, thanks to the way I get all tongue-tied around him. He shrugs.
If you change your mind, you know where to find me.
He flashes me a 1,000-watt grin, showing off perfect white teeth framed between pillowy soft lips, the kind of mouth you would never stop kissing if he was yours. I shake my head lightly as he walks away, probably to put my grilled cheese order in with the kitchen. For one brief second, I'm almost tempted to tell him my whole sob story, if only so that he'll stay and talk to me a little longer, so that I can continue my ongoing game of imagine what Jace the bartender looks like naked, a game I'm basically an expert in by now. At this point, I think I've imagined every detail of that man's body, the way his chest would be broad and smooth, with tight brown nipples, the way his abs would ripple under a woman's fingertips, the way they would lead down to a tapered V, the way his strong thighs and his sculpted ass would flex as he thrust his cock in and out of some poor, destroyed pussy. Because his cock, the cock I imagined was massive, 10 inches at least, and thick as a beer can, throbbing and veiny and punishing. I'm sure there's no way the reality can live up to everything I've imagined, but it doesn't matter anyway, because it's not like I'm ever going to experience it. It's just a little harmless daydreaming. I suppose it should have been a warning sign that even when I was engaged to Martin, I was fantasizing about Jace the bartender. Not that I would have done anything about it, God no. Martin might be a cheater, but I wasn't. But that didn't stop me from thinking about Jace. Because where Martin was Ivy League pressed khakis and horn-rimmed glasses, handsome in his own prissy sort of way, Jace was pure badass sex appeal. Tattoos, muscles, a stubbled jaw, the kind of guy you can just tell would fuck like a rock star. And sometimes a girl just wants to get lost in a fantasy like that. But that's all it is. A fantasy. The kitchen door swings open and Jace emerges, carrying a steaming sandwich on a plate. You wouldn't think it from looking at the exterior of this place. It screams dive bar. But they make awesome food here. The grilled cheese is probably the best I've ever had. Thick white bread, sharp white cheddar old enough to have its own driver's license, sliced pears, maple smoked bacon, and fresh chives. A greasy little taste of heaven. I'm taking the plate from him before he can even set it down on the bar. And for just a second, our fingers touch. A jolt shoots through me.
Careful. It's hot, Jace warns.
I'll say. I reluctantly let go and allow him to set the plate in front of me, and then take another giant guzzle out of my wine glass. Now I'm wishing I'd ordered a beer. At least it would help cool me down a little. A gaggle of college kids push in through the front door, laughing and as soaking wet as I was earlier. And Jace is occupied with serving them while I work on savoring my carbs and cheese. By the time I finish my sandwich and my wine, I'm actually feeling marginally better. My clothes are almost dry, and the day's earlier humiliation is starting to fade into the wine buzz.
Who cares if Turner and Crosby want me to take a couple of weeks off? It's basically a paid vacation. My career so far has been so busy and intense that I can't even remember when I last had time off. This is the perfect opportunity to stay in my pajamas all day and eat bonbons and watch soap operas or whatever it is people do when they're on vacation. Hell, maybe I'll even get myself laid while I'm off. My eyes flit involuntarily to Jace as soon as the thought crosses my mind. As if he can read my thoughts, he looks up from where he's taking drink orders from a couple of douchey-looking young Wall Street types. Our eyes meet across the room, and it's like an electric current shoots through me. It's enough to make me shudder, and almost enough to make me fall off my chair. Jace's face twists into a slow grin, and I find myself smiling back, hesitantly. Maybe. Then he glances down at my empty wine glass and nods, signaling that he'll be back in a second to top up my drink. I sigh. Crush on a bartender, and what do you get? Well, if you're as bad at flirting as I am, apparently drinks are the only thing you get. Jace makes his way back over to me and refills my glass. Before I can even thank him, he's turned around again, mixing drinks for the group he just came from. Well, if nothing else, it gives me an opportunity to check out his ass. I slurp my wine and take in the full hard roundness of his delectable backside, the way his shoulders ripple as he reaches for various bottles of liquor on the shelves above. I rest my chin in my hand and sigh, then realize how pathetic I'm being. I'm practically flashing him cartoon heart eyes, but to him, I'm just another customer. I reach for my wine glass, intending to take another long, satisfying swallow, but somehow, I misjudge the distance and end up smacking the stem of the glass with the back of my hand. Fuck! The glass goes sailing, spilling wine all over the bar and down onto my charcoal skirt. Fuck, fuck, fuck! Jay spins around to see what the commotion is. I'm frantically reaching for the napkins, only to realize I used them all when I was mopping up my face earlier. I look helplessly up at Jace as I use my hands to try to stem the tide of wine from flowing off the bar. Here. He tosses me another clean towel and comes around to my side of the bar with the second one. Together we mop up the spilled wine. His body is so close to mine as he stands there, wiping up my mess. I stop my cleaning efforts, suddenly intensely, incredibly aware of the hardness of him, the heat of him, his thick, solid presence next to me. My skin sizzles and burns like a hot pan. My breath catches in my throat. My fingers reach out, almost of their own volition, and graze along his forearm. I don't mean to do it, honestly. The same way I didn't mean to throw those muffins at Martin. Some unconscious part of me takes over, though, and before I know it, I'm running my fingertips along the smooth skin of his inner arm. He tenses, his fist clenching around the towel, making the veins on his arms pop out. My heart is racing, but I trace my finger along those ridges, all the way down to his wrist, and then dance across the palm of his hand. I'm sorry, I say. My voice is hoarse. It barely even sounds like me. It's okay. His voice is hoarse, too. I can't help but notice. And I wonder for a second what that means. I force myself to look up into his eyes. Those blue eyes. The color of the New York City sky on a perfect summer day. His eyes have gone dark now, though, and they bore right into me. What time is your shift over? The words are out of my mouth before I can stop them, before I can tell myself that this is a bad idea. 3 years of coming here.
and I've had enough of fantasizing about Jace the bartender. I want a taste of the real thing. Jace squints and seems to hesitate, but only for a second. He tears his eyes away from mine just long enough to glance down at the old leather watch on his wrist.
20 minutes. His voice is rough, gravelly.
Good. I bite my lower lip, hoping he understands my meaning. There's a moment when I'm not sure, or when I think perhaps he's considering how to let me down easy. But then his mouth twists into a sexy smirk.
Good, he echoes,
and the pleasure licks through me like a flame. 20 minutes later, I'm leaving the bar with Jace the bartender, wondering just what the hell I'm doing. 3. Celia. We take a cab to my apartment, and every moment of it is pure, delicious torture. We both sit politely and quietly on either side of the back seat, as if we're nothing more than friends or colleagues. But my mind is racing, thinking about all the things I'm going to let Jace the bartender do to me tonight. I sneak glances at him in the dark interior of the cab, and every time I do, I catch him looking back at me. I wonder if he's thinking about the same things I am, about how I'm going to wrap my lips around his dick, about what his stubbled jaw is going to feel like against the soft skin of my inner thigh, about how it's going to feel to finally have his cock inside me. I squirm in my seat, and he glances over at me, one cocky eyebrow raised. I smile at him, suddenly shy, and he reaches over and puts his hand on my knee. That's all it takes for me to melt into my seat. His warm palm on my bare skin sends sparks all the way up my thigh, cresting between my legs and swelling my clit. I let out the smallest of whimpers. Again, I don't mean to. It just comes out. Jace's eyes flash with lust. He leans over, and then he's kissing me, his lips mashing into mine, his hand sliding up to cup the back of my neck. I can feel his fingers tugging my hair as he slides his tongue into my mouth, tangling it with mine. He tilts my head back so he can kiss me even deeper, and the feeling of his hands against my scalp and his tongue tracing mine and his stubbled jaw brushing my chin is enough to make me come undone. Neither of us notice when the cab comes to a stop. We're still kissing frantically when the cab driver clears his throat loudly. I pull away, embarrassed and trying to catch my breath, but Jace just smirks as he pays the driver. That was quite possibly the best kiss I've ever had, though I'm sure for him it's a near weekly, if not daily, occurrence. Don't think about that now, I chide myself. Yes, he's probably a playboy. But for just tonight, he's my playboy. As soon as the cab drives away, we're back to being chaste and well-behaved. In other words, more torture. Jace waits patiently as I dig around in my purse for my keys, and then he follows me through the lobby of my building. I nod a hello and smile at Mr. Farah, our evening concierge, and then lead Jace to the elevators.
Nice building, he comments, as the gleaming silver doors swing open.
It should be, I say, trying to keep the note of bitterness out of my voice. It costs a damn fortune. Martin and I had bought this place together, and I was still trying to figure out whether I could afford to buy it out from him. I didn't love the place, but I also wasn't really excited about the idea of trying to find another condo anytime soon. New York City real estate is basically on par with the Hunger Games. Jace is quiet as we ride the elevator up to the 12th floor, and as we walked down the hall towards my apartment.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?